Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Boy, you think about the issues that our public officials are dealing with at the city and the township level, housing, right? How many times have you gone to a city council meeting and had a housing proposal that you had to talk about? No development, not in my backyard kind of thing. That makes it tough. But also, those ideas need to be respected as well, and they are in these forums. Infrastructure, another huge issue on the local level that your public officials deal with. It's the budget. It's the quality of life. Here today, we're going to be talking about all those issues with the public officials and the people behind them that are working those issues so you can have that quality of life that you want here in this great big sky country. Today, we are live from the 94th Annual Convention of the Montana League of Cities and Towns on Voices of Montana. Love this convention, and we're going to talk with a lot of people across the state of Montana. Going to go over to Deer Lodge. James Jess may be popping in here. We'll see. Gail Leeper is the incoming president, mayor of Drummond, Montana, for 20-plus years. She'll have some things to share with us here. Terry Cunningham, the mayor of Bozeman, will talk about affordable housing. John McGinley is already geared up here with the city of Dillon. Nadine Brown's going to join us a bit later on, the mayor of Ritchie. Yeah, we got it full here at the Doubletree in Bozeman, Montana. Jennifer Olson is the government affairs director for the Montana League of Cities and Towns, and you're co-hosting. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on today.
So I'm just going to say, we're in Billings. I know you probably travel the state a lot, but...
What did I say?
Yeah, we're in the great city.
Oh, yeah. I said Bozeman?
Yep.
Yeah. I know we all love Bozeman too, but you know what? This Doubletree has been treating us really great.
Good.
City of Billings has been fabulous. We're right downtown. Been going to a couple of different places in the evening. Fabulous.
It is. And you guys got a huge conference here, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
John McGinley is, Mayor McGinley is with us as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Good. You're not from Bozeman.
No, I'm not from Bozeman.
No, not at all.
Don't associate me.
The McGinley name's pretty well known, though, in the city of Dillon and southwestern Montana. Yeah. Thanks for coming on, huh?
You're welcome.
How are things going over there?
It's trying. You know, there's constantly something going on. You know, we're trying to look for new industries to come to Dillon, whether they're a good fit for it. You know, a lot of public don't like him. You know, the state jumped on the county to see if a woman's prison could come there. Most of the residents don't want it, so. But, you know, with the college there, the housing industry, as you mentioned, you know, more and more students are showing up to Dillon. They're looking for rentals. You know, we have young families trying to buy houses, so it's a battle in Dillon to find a place to live.
Jennifer, we'll get into that here, too, because that's one of the reasons why we have this conference. But one of the reasons why there is a League of Cities and Towns, 94th year, talk about what you guys do.
Yeah, so 94 years ago, as the cities and towns were doing their thing in Montana, they said, hey, you know what? We've got similar issues no matter where we are in the state, and we want to talk about them. So they formed the Montana League of Cities and Towns to come together to be able to discuss those similar issues, learn from each other. And part of the reason that we come here is not only to learn from each other, but also bring in really great presentations so that we can learn, grow, and innovate. So education, outreach, and of course, we're really about advocacy of what local government does. So Tom, one of the things I want to point out is this is our largest conference since the 94 years started to go.
Oh,
of
wow.
course, I don't think in 94 years ago that we had 418 attendees, but this year we do. And so this is a really, really kind of like monumental conference for us. It's been just fabulous for us to network, talk. Like Mayor McGinley said, there's things that happen at the local level. These are the peers that we get to talk to and work with.
I'm very impressed with it, too. You know, it's 2.5 days, and Wednesday morning, when you guys got here, you went right to work real early Wednesday, a lot of breakout sessions. Mayor McGinley, you know, there's a lot of them. I kind of want to go into it a little bit because I think that's real important for you. But I want to ask you, Mayor, what did you take in? What was when you saw a long list of breakout sessions, what did you bone up on?
Mainly the TIFs and that and the resort tax. I've been always opponent or proponent for the resort tax for Dillon to create a revenue stream. Been a big step, I guess, trying to get a lot of information to explain to the residents of Dillon exactly what it is and why we need it. So, yeah.
Jennifer, go into that a little bit. I mean, one of the things that a lot of public officials have to deal with is the budget. It's probably the main thing. Yeah. And they're being, well, John, you said you want to find more money for your staffers, but there's a lot of squeeze going on there.
A lot of squeeze, you know, that's what it is, you know, trying to compete with the private industry out there. You know, they can raise their rates and different like that. You know, the city's stuck with what they have, and trying to keep your wages competitive so we don't lose employees is real tough.
when you look at the mechanics of it, right, we grow at half the rate of inflation and have been doing that over the average of 3 years, but we've been doing that since the early 90s, right? So as everybody else is growing at the full rate of inflation, we've been growing at half the rate of inflation, so our budgets are very tight. But you know, so that's why, you know, we're talking about TIF, tax increment financing, right? It's an extraordinarily important tool. It is not a tax. It's a really kind of poorly named use or economic development tool, infrastructure tool. But we're really, what we're talking about is how does a city grow? And a, you know, urban renewal district, a targeted economic development district, those are the two ways that we can use that tool, and so many other things that really help our communities to really leverage that public part, private partnership, or even come together and say, hey, how are we going to look? Where do we want to grow? And what does our future look like? And how do we get there?
And really, John, about the only avenue you have, maybe there's some savings and funding, and Jennifer can talk about that, but mostly the only avenue you have is that generation of tax revenue.
Yeah.
And so, and people don't like to spend that money necessarily, but they will. I mean, you got to go out and convince them, don't you?
Yeah. A lot of it is convincing of why we need it. You know, some of the programs, they, you know, like our cemetery, you know, people will help donate that. But, you know, you talk, you know, if you mention streets, okay, but why I'm paying my taxes on the streets already, you know, why do you want to increase it? And it's tough to, you know, put all the information or get all the information to the, you know, the public that you take years to learn, try to convince someone in 15-minute conversation of the taxes and the finances of a city is tough.
That's John McGinley again, who's mayor of Dillon, Montana. Jennifer Olson is with us, 94th Annual Montana League of Cities and Towns Convention here in Billings at the Doubletree. And Jennifer, thanks for pointing that out. They do a really good job. You know, a lot of room here, too.
Yeah,
And you needed this because, I don't know, I didn't count them. You probably have about 40, 50 different breakout sessions.
Oh, yeah. And then fabulous vendors. You know, we've got some really great vendors that are, you know, really kind of key to providing, you know, tools to help local governments do some of the work that they're trying to do. So all manner of, you know, parking resources to equipment to engineering architectural firms, financial budgeting software. So, and also really great partners from our state agencies who are here to talk about like GIS mapping. So really, we really feel the love from our vendors who help to support our local governments do the things that they need to do.
Well, and a real huge conference at that, too. So I think that shows the importance of people understanding how you need that unified voice to work together. John, more issues housing. Do you have anything on the plate? Is there new housing going up? And then we'll get into development here a little bit, too, because I know people push back on that. Yeah. But you got to walk that out.
Yeah, you know, the city of Dillon's pretty almost completely built out with housing. You have a couple, one little subdivision that's almost completely built out. There's a guy that's working on the other side of town that was plotted in 1910, but he's developing that area. So, you know, but really our housing inside the city limits is almost, you know, maxed out. So now a lot of people are building out in the county. And that's my problem why I want the resort tax, because county residents don't pay taxes for the city or infrastructure. Mm-hmm. They come in and use it every day. So that's what I thought of. A resort tax would help the county residents that are using Dillon help pay for the city infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep a handle on that tax? How do you keep a handle on taxes? So I suppose it's a balancing act, right?
The resort tax is, you know, it's what I got out of it. take the luxury items, the people that come in to use it, they pay the up to 4% on that. And that's where you then you divide it into the different categories where you want to use it, infrastructure, help pay for the police and fire and stuff like that. So, but just the regular sale or property tax we get right now, it's kind of, you know, take a real sharp knife and divide it up into the little pieces where you can spread it out too.
Are you still, Jennifer, are they still dealing with understanding these property taxes changes that the legislator initiated?
So do you mean...
John's shaking his head a little bit like, yeah, oh my gosh, yeah.
They as in the public, they as in the elected officials, they as in even, you know...
Yes.
All the way from the state, all the way down, you know, yes.
Yes, and the answer is no.
Yes, all of those, the answer is, I think it's really important that we continue to educate about what property tax is, right? When we have a local budget, we take what we got last year and we grow that by half the rate of inflation, and then we add a newly taxable. Well, there's some legislation that changed how we're going to look at newly taxable. There's some legislation that we're going to look at growth. But remember, when we think about where we start with or what we get to do, it's because the Department of Revenue does the market valuation, the legislature sets the tax rate, and that gives us our taxable value that we can work with. So we don't get to change any of that. So what I think the cities and towns do such a phenomenal job of trying to be, you know, they're providing public safety, they're trying to provide water and sewer, they're providing roads, streets, lighting, really the function of local government too, right? It's really important that you have your clerk, and they are a heart of the community. If you really want to know, mayors, councilmen, they're really hardworking. The clerk is that shining star behind all of that, that just helps that community move to do the things that they want to do.
And Mayor McGinley, I'm sure they're happy to hear you're thinking about them and wanting to get some more money into their coffers, and I know that's appreciated. What's your infrastructure like? How you looking?
Our water infrastructure's pretty good. You know, there's grants out there for water and sewer. You look at our streets, some of them are good, some are horrible, but there's no grants out there for streets. So that's what it is. It comes from actually taxes on the streets, and that's the big thing. You know, my plan for the last 4 years now is maintain the streets we have. Let's put a plan together to fix the streets that need to be fixed. And it's, you know, coming from a world of construction, you find a problem, let's go do it. It don't work that way in government. You have to make plans, you know, for 10, 20 years out in the future. So that's...
Well, and even the infrastructure that you're talking about, those grants and loans are really critical because we can't, they don't solve the whole problem. They just fill a gap. And we're coming up with user fees in order to help pay for the loans that we get to do the infrastructure.
Has that been effective? I mean, are user fees going to, they're only going to cover so much, I suppose.
There's so much. And, you know, the price of everything keeps going up. So, you know, trying to keep the fees up with the rate of inflation is tough to do.
I'm glad that's your job and not mine, okay?
Yeah, that's what. I had a pretty set of hair when I went in there. Now it's all falling out and turning gray.
That is not true. It's still looking pretty good. Mayor McGinley, thank you for stopping in.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We love our Dillon affiliates there, too. They just have been such a bright spot, I think, in that community. So steady, you know, the radio station there.
Great station.
Yeah, big thanks to them. We're live at the Doubletree, where for 3 days now, this including today, the Montana League, the League, which is pretty cool. You can abbreviate that to the League, which like has a power, Jennifer.
It
you
does.
Know, there's power in that.
Yeah, we're from the League.
The Montana League of Cities and Towns here, 94th annual convention. It's in Billings, Montana. Been going on for a few days, and boy, I just look at some of these breakout sessions here. There's a lot of peer-to-peer networking, but the Montana Department of Commerce here talks about programs and funding. The DNRC, the DEQ, they're here. I mean, I could go through this list, but the whole idea, AI, today and tomorrow, one of your keynote speakers yesterday had talked about public safety. And,
fabulous.
And that's another something I want to bring up here as well. Terry Cunningham is joining us, Mayor of Bozeman, Montana, and also Jerry Grabenz, who's with the League here and a land use planner. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming in. Jerry, how are you?
Good. I'm great.
Jerry lined up some mayors today, and Terry's one of them, for that matter. And thank you guys for helping out. And I have so much respect for your executive director, Kelly Lynch. Love that. And, you know, putting all this together. So just mad props. Terry, you're dealing with housing there. There were some housing bills that came out of the legislature. I felt like, you know, maybe they can get out of the box a little bit, but there's only so many tools that they're working with, too. What's your take now after that session wrapped up and people are going, how did that help us here in Bozeman, Montana?
You bet. And obviously, we have been suffering from the same issues that the housing collapse of 2008 generated, where all housing stopped in Bozeman. We continue to get lots of population growth, and so we have a supply and demand issue. And so as a result right now, we cannot, our developers cannot bring out of the ground truly affordable housing without significant subsidies. And so one of the great sessions I attended was Department of Commerce talking about a new bill, HB 924, that provides additional subsidies for us to pursue and for the developers to pursue. And that's absolutely vital. And the place was packed, and there were some great questions coming back from the communities of how do we institute these. There was developers in the room, so a really valuable forum to learn how to take advantage of those subsidies.
Terry, are those developers and public officials, are they coalescing over some ideas regarding land use planning? Talk about that transition from maybe working separately to trying to work more together.
Yeah, so one of the biggest things, and it actually happened in the last session, was the Montana Land Use Planning Act, which Kelly Lynch, the executive director, was one of the main pushes behind that, is to try to formalize planning to make the development of housing much more efficient and easy. So basically what you end up with, and this is for the big communities, it's not the Montana Land Use Act, MLUPA, applies to the Bozemans, the Billings, the Helenas, the Great Falls, is basically create a very detailed planning process to set the stage to help expedite the construction of housing. And I mean, it's a very detailed process. It's not simple, as the mayor knows, and the mayors and councils of the other big cities know. But it's long overdue. I mean, we've been doing land use planning through a combination of zoning and subdivision regulations, and it hasn't been very efficient. The development community's not happy with it. The communities haven't been happy with it. You know, and it's a challenge because it's a very in-depth planning process. And communities like Bozeman and Missoula and Helena, they're used to it, but nonetheless, it's a pretty intensive process. But it was long overdue, and hopefully, because this is still a work in progress for these communities, and some aren't done with it yet.
Well, and it'll be next spring that they all need to get done with it by legislative statute.
Yeah. May of 2026 is the deadline for the big nine to get this done. And hopefully this does set the stage for a much more expedited process for constructing housing.
Terry, you think that'll work?
So we are under the regulations of MLUPA, and we are working feverishly to meet the deadlines. And that includes community engagement. It includes a great deal of back and forth. We're redoing our unified development code. We're doing technical updates to our growth policy, all with an eye towards meeting that May deadline. And we've set ourselves a December deadline for getting the UDC approved. So this has been a sprint. But you can't run faster than your community. You've got to get that buy-in and make sure that this community understands what this means and how they can impact those decisions moving forward.
And I think one of the things, as Jerry pointed out, like all of our big communities are going through this, but one of the things that's the benefit of the League of Cities and Towns is we're all watching those big communities. So if you're the mayor of Dillon, right, you don't have to do MLUPA, but you can. And you can then use the resources that those big cities have gone through. They've already done all of that work. They're going to be the peer-to-peer mentoring, networking opportunities that we have here. That's part of the conversation, right? Because we do want to help more of those communities do some of that planning. It's really important planning, like Jerry was talking about. But that's a really great opportunity and kind of one of the reasons that the league really is successful in the work that we do.
I want to throw in infrastructure here as well, because you can't have housing without that dedicated infrastructure. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I was going to say, people don't realize this. If you would have told me pre-COVID that places like Broadus, Circle, Glasgow, all those tiny eastern Montana towns were going to be struggling with housing affordability and availability.
Right?
I'd have said you were crazy. Yeah. But that's where we're at. And part of that is infrastructure. A lot of them don't have the necessary water and sewer capacity. And then on top of it, you don't have the construction employees, the workforce, necessarily to provide those housing. So it's this crazy dynamic across the state where, yes, Bozeman and Helena and Missoula, they face similar things, but eastern Montana and rural Montana are running into the same issues. And it's not necessarily related to land use planning per se, but it's infrastructure, mm-hmm. it's workforce, it's the availability of building materials. It's an interesting dynamic right now.
Well, and that's why I think that the legislation, House Bill 505, is so critical, right? Because when we're running water and sewer out to the community, and Mayor can talk about this, it's a really expensive endeavor. And the funding programs that we love out there, that we regularly use, don't cover it all, right? So we have user fees, and we're talking about how we're going to be able to afford that. So House Bill 505 came along and said, hey, and actually right here in Billings, Representative Vincent was kind of the background of that, helping push that, which was great because we really needed the help so that we weren't doing that alone. So the state now will back the any development that we might be doing for housing out there so we can do infrastructure so that we're not on our own. So,
yeah, if you took a look at the city of Bozeman's budget, and realize that half of everything that we spend money on is water and sewer. It would shock the average person. So infrastructure is absolutely critical, and the cost of construction is going up much faster than inflation, so it's a perfect storm.
And I would add...
Jerry Grabenz, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, I know there's been a real focus on making the regulatory process easier, and no doubt it needs to be improved. But the bottom line is the cost of infrastructure, let alone the real estate market, which is the free market. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Infrastructure is one of the biggest components of the cost of housing.
And I know that communities are also dealing with some homelessness issues, and Bozeman's been one of them, you know, that it's highlighted.
Yeah.
And it's a serious problem, too.
Sure.
I've got 2 minutes here to maybe address that a little bit, how you're trying to come together as a community because there's a sense of compassion, but also a sense of order that's necessary in this conversation.
Yeah, and so national studies have proven that as rental rates go up, homelessness rates go up proportionately.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to, we say that homelessness is a housing problem. And so addressing those issues, providing low-income housing tax credit properties, which we have hundreds of units now coming out of the ground, and we're seeing people who used to live on the street actually qualifying for housing and sending us photos of the Bridgers from their living room window saying, I can't believe I'm actually living in permanent housing. So we roll up our sleeves, but housing is the answer to homelessness. Obviously, there's dependency issues. There's addiction issues, and that's an entire different kettle of fish, if you will. But we are working hard to increase the opportunities for housing and working on transitional housing, getting our urban camping under control, where there will be no more additional urban camping after October 31st.
That was not a small lift either for your community.
And we led with compassion. Yeah. We connected folks to resources. We worked with every single person. We knew their name, we knew their story, and by golly, we decided to tackle that head on and connect folks to the resources they need to make the decisions that are necessary for them to thrive.
That's really an important part of this, and we can't go into it too much here, but congratulations on that, because there's a lot of people out there where subsidizing housing doesn't make sense. It's not the right approach, but you've got to have housing, so trying to find that balance there and create the new ways and the new ideas to do that. Thank you for working on that, Terry. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. The cost of land, lumber, labor, and lending are insurmountable, and we need those subsidies.
Terry Cunningham, Mayor of Bozeman, thank you for your public service. Same with Jerry Grabenz and Jennifer Olson with the League Breakout Sessions here. We're live at the League of Cities and Towns 94th Annual Convention going on in Billings here at the DoubleTree. And and three really packed full days here. Yesterday was a chance to catch up with some folks here, but also catch the presentation from Dave Clark on the state of nutrient standards in Montana. And there was a ton of stuff to learn and to know that I think you'll be very interested in. So I'm going to have Dave Clark on a different program or another program down the road here as well. But that's one of the things that they're wrangling with here at this 94th annual conference. We'll talk about it here in more detail with Dave too, but I'll pick it up here. And a few other things I wanted to note for you guys too. For the first time, really, one of the participants told me that he could recall, and he'd been here a long time, they dealt with how to be safe in the public security for these meetings. And I think that's a signal that we need to pay attention to, that our discourse, we could be a lot more responsible about it, and that's on all of us here too. So we'll talk about that as we get into this segment. But I want to see what's on the plate here. Welcome again, Gail Leeper from Drummond, Montana, Mayor of Drummond, and the incoming president of this league. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good. And then Nadine Brown, the mayor of Ritchie, Montana.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jennifer Olson with us as well, government affairs director for
yes.
the league.
All yes, right. Two fabulous mayors here, that's by what, the way.
Yeah, yeah, really cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's coming from Jennifer.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Don't tell the other ones that just sat down about that comment.
You're her favorite. You're her favorite. That's what it is. Gail, you've been in this a long time, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you want to. Maybe you can talk about that. Are you a little nervous? Do people get and Drummond and Ritchie and all of Montana, we're pretty good people. We don't get too wrangled up about stuff. But has it been a concern?
Absolutely. We have a clerk that is only 2 years, 3 years in her, but she's not from Drummond. And so one of the things we did was put a lock on the door, lock the door and put a doorbell for people that want to come in. The sign is open and whatnot, but not just have the total invite of people walking in and out. And where her office is, there's a outdoor, but it's kind of set up weird, So we want her to feel safe, yeah. because I'm not there 24/7, so they're going to come and ask her those questions. The sheriff came one day and ran right into the door. And he says, "Why you lock the door, Gail?" Yeah. I said, "For safety." And so that gives her peace of mind. It gives me peace of mind because she's there 90% of the time where, I'm in and out all the time. So small things like that. I mean, we've had issues with mentally ill people coming mm-hmm. in with a sticky note to say, "Hey, you're supposed to give me $500. So you just have to be aware. You can't make some of the stuff up. We can never foresee that. So just precautionary.
Yeah, I think that's wise. They haven't had a locked door in Ritchie in generations, have they?
No.
Anywhere in Ritchie.
No.
Yeah. Thank God for that.
Yes, but Ritchie's growing also and mm-hmm. changing.
Tell me.
We're having people move in. We've had... we've had a number of people move in from Illinois. We've had we have a elderly, well, not real elderly, but people move in from California. People are migrating to the east. And we're also seeing a lot of young families come back. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I haven't thought a whole lot about, safety in the office and stuff like that, and I should, because, yes, we're in and out, small towns. It's the clerk, public works, and the mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that I think is something that we like to share is the vast majority of our mayors and our city council people are volunteers.
Yes.
So they're not paid to do that work.
Amazing.
So your small town clerk, it might be, in the office more often. And so safety that's why we have this at this conference, right? We want to talk about safety because the operation of local government is where really everybody comes, right? It's getting back to where the rubber meets the road. The citizens that come and want to talk to the mayor, want to talk to the clerk, right? We want to make that happen, but we want to do it in a safe way. Political discourse right now in the across the nation is something that is just of paramount importance, that we do it in a way that protects and keeps safe all of these volunteers. We could not do the things that we do in this state, any community, without these fabulous volunteers that stand up and say, hey, you can elect me, and I will take this vision of this town and move it forward.
I appreciate that. I can't get his last name correct. Maybe you can. Doug?
Carker.
Carker from Haver.
From Haver, right? Mayor of Haver,
37
yeah.
years public service, 4 years in Haver, but finance director. And Gail, you 20 years for you as well.
Actually, it's just about 30. I was voted in.
Nobody admits that. Nobody goes that way.
You know, yeah. I say it was my penance for being kind of a rowdy, sassy kid.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I love my community.
Yeah.
And I want to see it thrive. Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, I think I became mayor in 93, but I was on the council, I believe, 5 years before that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just part of me now. But you have to educate yourself every single day.
Nice. Right. Nadine, why do you serve?
Because I love our community.
Love my community.
And you know, you're worried about it. And it's, you know, just because it's a small town doesn't mean we have
you don't have big issues, huh?
We have issues, and we have to play by the same rules. We have to follow the MCA. We have to prepare budgets. We have to do AFRs and reporting, and there can be consequences if you don't.
Yeah.
Even in tiny towns.
I think that's real interesting because you know, we just had the mayor of Bozeman on as well,
right?
And that's as big a city as Montana really has to offer. And you guys are dealing with the same issues, and you have
Absolutely.
The same tools, but maybe not the same pot to pull into. What's going on in Drummond?
We are doing our third phase of our wastewater project.
Oh.
Started it in 2005. Now we're at the very the ending phase, and so we're
2005.
We did,
huh?
Yeah. Wow. We redid all the wastewater lines in town, and then we went to build a lift station, redid the lines out to the lagoon. So that's where we're at now. I mean, it takes that long, you know, to do it. And our lagoon is a one-cell facultative lagoon, so we're splitting it into three cells. When we started this 3 years ago, it was $3.5 million.
Now
it is now 9.5.
Oh, jeez.
But
three times. Wow.
The good news with that for Drummond is that 84% of it is being paid with grants or forgiveness. That being said, about $1.3 million is still a lot to 300 people.
Which is increasing your user rates, I would
imagine. Right, and we went from $24 a month to $75 a month. That's what we had to do because we had USDA money, loan. And so, you know, you have to follow all the regulations and rules, and it's a lot. Our engineering firm, who is Triple Tree out of Helena, you know, they have been a great help and whatnot. But it's we were just transparent from the get-go.
Nice, yeah.
And we probably had about 20 inquiries, you know, when we sent the very itemized, very individual letters out to taxpayers.
I want to ask you about what kind of public engagement besides the letters that did you also do?
We had public hearings, which I think two people came to that, you know. But, you know, we get it out on social media, and it was difficult because people don't really enjoy
talking about poop?
Talking about poop on Facebook. But
my buddies do, but that's a different story.
But with that, if you think about it, I mean, I did interviews with the newspaper and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But Facebook is free to us to get it out there. And one of the biggest things is, you know, I had to remind the council, do not answer back. We have to keep the comments open.
Oh, right, yes, right, yeah, yeah.
And I just don't, you know?
That's really good advice, actually.
Yeah.
Because the public should be engaging themselves in that discussion. Nadine, what's going on with Richie that's top of your plate right now?
So very similar, but with our water projects. We're replacing our water mains, which are over 80 years old. You know, so it's
is it phase one or phase three?
We've completed two phases.
Oh, congrats.
First phase was 100% grant coverage, you know, with the whole COVID thing and stuff like that. Our second phase, I think we ran at like 91% grant funding, but we're not going to see that anymore. You know, SRF is back down to 50% loan forgiveness now. So we've been having meetings, public hearings. We had to go through, you know, an income survey but we did qualify for CDBG, just qualified to apply for the grant for CDBG grant funding. So a lot of money. Involved here. I think if we get through all five phases, which I'm hoping will happen, under my term, we've completed two. We've been awarded MSEPT and RRGL funds, and hopefully we'll get that CDBG funding for phase three. Phase three is in the works, and when you're putting in a grant application, you're also working on your next PER. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
you know, Tom, I just want to point out, Mayor Brown is pointing out a lot of education that she has had because
exactly.
Her acronym SOUP use is fabulous. And I'm not, that is not a joke, right? There are complex programs, federal programs that she was missing, Community Development Block Grant, State Revolving Loan Fund, you know, USDA Rural Development, all of that acronym SOUP. That is part of this, you know, a volunteer steps up to educate themselves, like Mayor Leeper was saying, and you have to educate yourself every day to find out what it is. How do you solve this problem? Because you're not going to get that subsidy without knowing what state agency or what federal agency to talk to. Yep. What is the issue? You're going to talk about your PER, preliminary engineering report, with your engineer, and all of that education. So the Mayor Brown is no longer going to be the mayor. She's retiring out of mayorship.
Congratulations on that, too.
But that's what it takes, the heart of a volunteer, the heart of these mayors to help good water, treated sewer, to help get infrastructure so that we can have the housing that we were talking about. We can have economic development. We can have the tourism.
And clean water.
Yes.
Clean water.
And even in tiny towns, you have to know this stuff.
Well, and I got a shout out to the league because with that, you know, there's a lot of financials that you have to go through and whatnot. So their program, they're helping with the AFRs and all of that kind of stuff is so important.
We're going to do that. We come back after this break and we'll have just a few minutes. But Leandra and Tom and others that we want to give a shout out as well for setting this all up. But to you guys, thank you for dedicating that time to making your communities better. This is something that goes into the future and you can take some pride in that too. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Jobs well
thank
done.
You.
That's Gail Leeper, incoming president of the league and mayor of Drummond, and also it's Nadine Brown, the mayor of Richie, Montana. So wrapping up here from the league's 94th annual convention in Billings here, and Kelly Lynch, the executive director, joins myself and Jennifer Olson here. Good morning, Kelly. How are you doing?
Good morning, Tom. How's my favorite radio broadcaster?
I am hanging in there. I hope you are, too.
I am. Everything's doing really well at the league. We are moving right along. This is our period after the last legislative session where we really go out and start training folks on new laws that passed and kind of where things got left. There are still things to be dealt with, so we're busy at the interim committees. And our folks here are loving this conference. We've just had a great time learning about safety and security for our elected officials. Yeah. That's something that I think we need to step up a little bit, just thinking about that. Working on, as you know, nutrients.
We'll talk more about that down the road.
Water rights.
Yep.
Dealing with issues with, you know, working with the railroads to come up with better ways to work together. And, I mean, we're just plugging right along. I've got a new land use planner. I think you've
got
to talk
with him.
Jerry,
this morning.
Jerry joined us.
Yep. Our financial management services now helps with 30 cities across the state of Montana.
You guys do so much, and this conference is so big, and there's so much teaching going on here. I'm very, very impressed with that. Thanks for that. Keep our cities, keep our towns going, keep them safe, and keep them fun, too. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Kelly, thank you for what you do. Jennifer Olson, thank you for what you do.
Oh, definitely. Good job. It's our pleasure.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.